Let's have our scripture reading for the day in John 18, verses 36 to 38. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou the king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am the king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." And verse 38 says, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all."
Thank you, Mike, and good morning. It is great to see God's people here in the house of the Lord on His most holy day. And what a blessing it is to be here. This week has been filled with some interesting events, cool, crisp evenings, warm afternoons, yummy apples ripening on the tree, and a few tomatoes trying to make it. But I think they're going to fail. Let's bow our heads for a moment. We do thank you, Father, for taking such good care of us. Despite what goes on around us, you strengthen us and encourage us. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to be here just now, to bless my words, to open our hearts and our ears that we might hear what the Spirit would have to say to us this morning. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning we're going to spend the next few minutes reviewing the value of our choices. You know, the significant decisions that we make every day. Every day we are called upon to make quite a number of decisions. I think you recognize that. And those come from the choices that we are faced with. Someone has said that the choices are the stuff that life is made of. And our choices will determine our eternal destiny. Of course, some of these choices have really a very negligible impact on anything that we do. Yet there are other choices that have such a great magnitude that we scarcely understand their implications for our lives. And then, of course, there's all those other decisions that fall in between. In the morning, we choose what we're going to wear, unless your wife tells you what to wear. If we elect to have a sandwich for lunch, then we must next decide what kind of a sandwich it will be. So you can see that things get very complex very quickly in our lives, don't they? Now, while it's true that not all choices have noteworthy consequences, good choices generally produce good consequences. These good consequences are commonly referred to as blessings or rewards. On the other hand, bad choices spawn, generally speaking, the more uncomfortable or the unpleasant or those distasteful consequences. This morning we know that human beings learn in part by observing similarities and contrasts. And the Bible relates many stories about people who made both good and bad decisions. Accordingly then, God's people often received the considerable blessings or the uncomfortable consequences of their decisions. I'm sure that you can easily recall a few of those names. Now, today we shall reflect on three monumental decisions made by Pontius Pilate. As you are aware, the consequences of his decisions were catastrophic. Recall that Pilate was the fifth governor of the Roman province of Judea, around 26 to 36 AD. He served in this position under the emperor Tiberius Caesar. Pilate actually has rather meager coverage in historical documents, but it is recorded that he was a reckless and a very cruel individual. The last legitimate mention of him in those records indicates that in approximately 36 AD, he was called to Rome by the Caesar for the mishandling of a Samaritan uprising. After this reference, there is basically nothing more of significance recorded about him. What we know from the Bible record is that as governor, he presided over the trial of Jesus Christ. This took place early on Friday morning of the Passover week, April 3 of 33 A.D. Now, according to the various accounts of this trial in the four Gospels, Pilate was one that asked a lot of questions. In fact, much of his recorded conversation in Scripture is in the form of questions. Matthew records that there were six questions asked by Pilate. Mark records five questions in all. These are found in Mark 15. Luke lists three questions. Those are all found in Luke 23. But John records a total of nine questions asked by Pilate, all of them recorded in John chapters 18 and 19. This seems to indicate that Pilate was trying his best to make an informed decision. It's good to ask questions before making an important decision, don't you think? Well, I hope this morning that you are aware that God wants to guide us into making the right choices. And he doesn't mind when we ask questions. So as we are faced with challenges or difficult decisions, let us always remember to talk to God. In one manner or another, he will guide us and will help us to make the right choice. Remember this. The Bible tells us that God loves us. That is why he died for us. Nobody wants us more to be successful than Jesus Christ. He will guide us to be happy, healthy, and holy builders of our Christian character. Now, we may be tempted to think that Pilate was not really guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. After all, wasn't he only following God's plan and fulfilling prophecy? Have you ever heard that argument? Please follow the storyline in Matthew 27, verse 19. You can read along as I discuss the context. When we read this text carefully, we see that Pilate's wife, who was guided by God, warned her husband not to get involved in the trial of Jesus. So Pilate received this warning not from his wife, but from God. That's right. God used his wife as a messenger. And by this we know that Pilate was not left to act blindly. God never allows anyone to act blindly if he or she is sincerely seeking his guidance. In fact, it pleases our Heavenly Father when we allow him to help us make decisions, both great and small. What's more, his guiding principles are clearly expressed in his holy word, the Bible. Now, if God's stand on a particular matter is not readily found in Scripture, we may ask him for additional guidelines so that he can direct our decisions. However, we must never think that God will answer the prayer of one who is asking for a sign to know whether or not to go against his guiding principles. That's not the way he works. Here's a question that is posed, for instance. What is the very best way to rob a bank? For this example, God has already given to us his command, which says, "Thou shalt not steal." That's right. Now, I hope you understand that the world encourages us to make the wrong decisions. Our reference point this morning is Pilate's second blunder, and it's found right there in verses 21 and 22 of chapter 27. At this juncture, Pilate elects to confer with the mob about Jesus and Barabbas. There were actually two questions that he put to them. The first question was this: which of these two men do you want me to release unto you? I think you recollect their answer. The second question was, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? So rather than making a decision himself, Pilate asked the mob to determine the disposition of the two men who were before him. This was a tremendous mistake. As somebody would say, it was a disaster of epic proportions. Friends, let us never inquire of the world, not the multitude nor the mob, not the numerous forms of the worldly wise media, not some prominent religious leader, not the fictitious account or an unconverted acquaintance on what to do about Jesus and his manner of business for your life. You remember the decisive declaration so emphatically stated by Joshua? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua was determined that he was not going to permit someone else to make such an important decision for him, and neither should we. Let us establish our choices firmly on the Word of God. Don't be influenced by the world around you. Stay out of that environment. My mom used to say, "You kids stay in your own yard." Did you ever hear anything like that? We all have been given free will, free choice. So let us exercise it and make the choice for Jesus. So as Pilate asked the throng what he should do with this, the fairest of 10,000, he was actually sealing his own condemnation. You see, one day the roles are going to be reversed. Jesus will be in his robe, and he will be the judge. Then Pilate will hear of the consequences in regard to the choices that he made. Jesus himself said in Matthew 10:32, "He whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." In other words, what we do with Jesus here and now is what he will do with us in the final judgment. Have you ever thought about it that way? We may cringe at this thought, but the Bible is very clear on this. Those who walk and talk with Jesus, those who make the decision to follow him before the world, those who testify that Jesus is the Lord of their lives, will be rewarded by none other than Jesus himself. One day soon, he will present their names to the Father, who in turn will grant unto them eternal life. Now that is a good decision. I think you can see that every day we must make a decision for Jesus. Pilate's last and detrimental choice was to wash his hands of Jesus. Our reference is verse 24 in Matthew 27. In ancient times, when a man refused to take sides in a particular matter, he washed his hands in public, demonstrating an attitude of neutrality. But in this great conflict, friends, we cannot remain neutral. We do not have the option to say, "I will serve neither God nor Satan." We will serve one or the other by choice or by default, whether we recognize it or not. By pretending to remain on neutral ground, or by failing to make a decisive choice, we by default place ourselves within the camp of the enemy. Making a choice for Jesus Christ is the greatest and most far-reaching decision we will ever make. And when all is said and done, guess what? Christ grants to everyone his or her own choice. Our choice for Jesus will bring blessings and rewards which will last forever. By making the choice for God, we will have eternal life with him. This is what he longs for. If we prefer not to make a definitive choice, then we choose the way of the enemy and eternal death. I hope that you understand the importance of this choice today. 2,000 years ago, Pilate washed his hands of Jesus. You see, he just wanted to remain neutral. Today I wash my hands of Jesus when I choose to distance myself from Bible study. When I place other things above the development of my relationship with Jesus. When I neglect to converse with him in prayer, and when I resist that still small voice that attempts to show me the way. By this, I am in effect washing my hands of Jesus. We all learn by similarities and contrasts. And Pilate's actions on that eventful morning offers to us a clear example of bad decisions and their associated consequences. Clearly, his example was given for all of our benefit. So, let us make a clear choice for Jesus today. I hope that you have done that. Let's choose to be on his side and remain there for the duration of this enormous conflict that we find ourselves in. It is our privilege and our honor and our responsibility as Christians to show the world what it means to serve Jesus Christ. Do you believe that statement? Do we live it? It is our privilege, our honor, and our responsibility as Christians to show the world what it means to serve Jesus Christ. Do we actually have a responsibility to God for our choices? Daniel Webster was a famous statesman and a skilled political orator who was a prominent figure in the U.S. government in the early 1800s. One day at a State Department banquet, someone posed a question of this deep thinker. Mr. Webster was asked about the most serious thought that had ever crossed his mind. What do you suppose he said? He paused for a moment, then he replied, "It is the sense of my individual responsibility to God." Then he continued, "This thought is not pleasant for those who are living in their sins and out of relationship to him, and consequently are not prepared to face the tremendous issues involved. But whether the issues are faced or not, this fact remains. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We are all responsible to God as the Word of God declares, and cannot escape our responsibilities." It seems that we need more politicians and citizens who recognize this reality. You see, Mr. Webster recognized that the day is coming when we, each one, must give an account of himself to God. We are all created free moral agents and have the power of choice. And ultimately, every single individual will be held responsible for the choices that we make. Well, the end of the conversation with Pilate and Jesus was reviewed in our scripture this morning that Mike read. In John 18:38, we find the final question that Pilate asked of this accused criminal. He asked this question of Jesus, in whose mind had never entered the thought or the design of a crime. And as Jesus was completing his closing remarks on his bearing witness to the truth, Pilate asked him this metaphorical question: "What is truth?" Hardly 12 hours had passed since Jesus had explained to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So it turns out that Pilate was essentially asking Jesus, "Who are you?" Now think about that for a moment. Isn't this basically the same question that we must ask ourselves this morning? Who is this Jesus, and what are we going to do with him? Like Pilate, we're all given the choice to endorse, to embrace, and to live the truth. Our only other option, literally, is to deal with the associated consequences. I cannot imagine that anyone actually wants to go down that pathway. In conclusion this morning, we find these words penned in the book entitled Education. You'll notice I've made a little adaption here. The greatest one of the world is the one of people. People who will not be bought or sold. People who are in their inmost souls are true and honest. People who do not fear to call sin by its right name. People whose conscience is as true to duty as a needle is to the pole. People who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Each of us have a choice to make every day. And I hope we match this description that was written about Joseph and Daniel. Could have been written about Ezra and Nehemiah and a host of other Bible characters as well who had purposed in their heart to serve the Lord. Christ gives everyone this choice. Will you have me or will you have the world? So this morning, each one of us must ask ourselves a decisive question. Here it is. Will I endorse, embrace, and live the truth, or will I be left to deal with the consequences? Let's bow our heads. Father, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit into our lives to help us to understand the magnitude of every decision that we make. Help us to understand that the greatest decision we can make is for you. And help us to make that decision enthusiastically and with eager anticipation of what you will do in our lives. Father, I was just handed a note asking for prayer for Blair Wilbur. He was a member here for some time. He's now in Mercy Hospital with cancer and is not doing well. We ask that you would be with him. Help him to choose you in his life, that he might be found in that eternal kingdom above. Thank you for being with us through each and every challenge, each and every decision. Help our choices always to be going your direction. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.